chapter 55. Excuse me, Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we pray once again that your Spirit would illuminate, make clear to us this passage of Scripture, this chapter in the book of Isaiah. We pray that your Spirit would keep us alert and attentive as we study your word, that we would come before you in humbleness as we seek your truth. I pray that you would work tonight in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming your truth, but only your truth would be proclaimed for your glory. May you help us to apply what we learn so that we may grow in our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever in your life been so thirsty that you just needed some sort of liquid? I mean, the thirst is just getting so bad, you don't even care anymore what type of drink it is, just something to quench your thirst. It doesn't matter if it's hot, it doesn't matter if it's cool. Forget the ice, forget the glass, just give me something to drink, anything. You know, there have been times in my life when I knew that I was getting dehydrated, but never to the point where it was life-threatening. Now, as we come to this next chapter in the book of Isaiah, it speaks about God's compassion on his people and the effects of the gospel going forth. And it uses this water imagery throughout the chapter. Come, come to the waters. You who are thirsty, come. Come, you who are thirsty, come and drink. Come, you who are hungry, come and eat. The call of the gospel going forth to the very ends of the earth, and the effect of the call to come and to seek. Now, in the previous chapter, we saw that all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children, the peace of God. And then verse 17 from last week, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Great will be their peace. God will protect his children. This is now their heritage and their vindication. So come, come and drink, come and eat. And what is the opposite of having water to quench the thirst but fire? What is the opposite of a desert wilderness but lush vegetation? Now, if you remember that story in the Gospels of the rich man and Lazarus, we read of one who just wanted one drop of water to quench his thirst. In Luke 6, verses 19 through 24, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, and he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." just a drop of water. Just dip your finger in water to cool the tongue versus these words that we read here. Come, everyone who's thirsts, come to the waters. Come. Such is the call of God to those whom he calls to himself. Come. Come and drink. Come and eat. And what wonderful imagery here as we consider the blessings of the gospel and as we consider the grace of our Lord. We have seen a lot of the language of judgment in this book of prophecy. And yet in this latter portion we see the grace of God. Comfort, comfort my people. The everlasting covenant of peace. The suffering servant who bore our sorrows and who carried our shame. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. Let us never forget what these blessings of redemption cost. We are allowed to come with no money, but let us remember that we were bought with a price. As we look at these 13 verses that make up this chapter tonight, I want us to look at this chapter in two parts and four words. Two parts and four words. We might look or say the first nine verses are all about two different verbs that are listed here. Those are the first two words and the call that is given. Verses 1 through 5 begin with that word, come. Come. And you might call that a call to come or an invitation to come. Come. And then verses 6 through 9 begin with the word seek. So come and then seek. And the second half of the chapter describes the fruitfulness that is promised by God for those who come and those who seek. Verses 10 and 11 speak of the fruitfulness of the word, specifically the word of God that goes forth from his mouth. And as you and I view scripture today, we call the Bible the very word of God, inspired by him, given by him. God's word is faithful. It does what he purposes it to do. So word is that third word. And then in verses 12 and 13, the fruitfulness of the land, instead of barrenness, instead of a desert and wilderness and destruction by fire, we see fruitfulness and even creation itself rejoicing in the message of the gospel. So land is the fourth word that I want you to remember tonight. And I hope that that's helped. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. God's everlasting covenant. In the very previous chapter we read last week about God's covenant of peace that shall never be removed from his people. And we've heard this language before of coming without money or price. If you remember back in chapter 52, verse 3, for thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing and you shall be redeemed without money. Now our redemption came at a price, but not for us. God's provision for his people is all throughout the pages of Scripture as well. We read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You see, eating and drinking is not just about physical food that we all need, but here it also stands for something. Man does not live by bread alone. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Or Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God, earnestly. John 4, verses 7 through 14. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given to you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then later on in John's Gospel, a few chapters later in chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Living water. Come to the water. Come, you who are thirsty. Come, you who need this free gift of life. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Come." Now, verse 2 here in this chapter sounds very similar to what we've been studying the last couple of weeks in Ecclesiastes. "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why are you wasting your efforts on all the wrong things, trying to gain the wrong things, rejecting the free gift of food and drink?" John 6:27, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And then here at the end of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3, we have the same emphasis of listening. Listen. Listen. And that repetition is listening persistently. Listen, hear, pay attention, and you will find life. Delight in rich food. Your soul shall live. An everlasting covenant is being proclaimed. And these same images, and the command to come show up at the very end of Scripture in Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. The water of life. And now we see those promises that were given to King David extended to all people. He was promised a permanent throne and a lasting dynasty, which is fulfilled in Christ and in the church. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made a sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. And we see the fulfillment of those promises given to King David in the book of Acts, in Acts 13, verse 34. "And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.'" So come. Come and eat. Come and drink. Come and hear the truth about who Jesus is and have life. Now, second, we read of that second word, seek, in verses 6 through 9. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Seek the Lord. Call upon Him. Come to Him. Listen and seek. Matthew 7:11. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So I ask you tonight, do we ask the Lord for good things? Do we ask the Lord for good things? Are we diligent in prayer? Do we seek His face? Seek and you will find. Seek the Lord. And not just seek, we read here, but we read in these verses the call to repent. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return to the Lord. There is a call here, not only to come and eat, come and drink, but to repent. Repent and turn to God. May that be a prayer for our nation, for all those whom we know who do not know Christ, that they would repent. That our nation would repent of its pride in sin. We live in a time of open debauchery. Rather than simply be disgusted, it should motivate us to pray. To pray that God would change hearts and allow them to repent before it is too late. And we as followers of Christ, we need to repent of our sins as well. James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. True faith leads to repentance, a change of life. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man turn from his wicked thoughts. Forsake them. Turn from them. Repent of them. And we have that great reminder at the end of this section. In these last couple of verses here, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, those words, I think, are pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. But if you need it further explained for you, you are not God. You cannot compare yourself to God. Who are you, O man, to talk back to God or even to think that you understand anything better than Him? Who do you think you are? You are the creature and not the creator. And we need to remember that. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. Remember that you are His servant. Remember your sinfulness. And in the first two sections of this chapter are the pleas to come, the pleas to seek. And we might throw that word listen in there as well. But the offer of the gospel goes forth to all of those with the ears to hear and the eyes to see the truth. Come if you are thirsty and find eternal living water. Come without cost. The gospel is free. We cannot earn our salvation in any way, shape, or form. You do not help God save you. You turn from your sins. And you strive in holiness as a believer because of your redemption, not in order to earn it. So stop chasing the things that do not satisfy, or we could say, stop striving after wind. Eat what is good. Delight in rich food. Come to God that you may live. Enjoy His everlasting covenant. The fulfillment of the promises made to King David. Seek the Lord. Call upon Him. Repent. Remember that you are not God. His ways are higher. So after those commands to come and to seek, we now see in the final four verses fruitfulness that comes from the gospel. Fruitfulness that comes from the Lord. Verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And in these two verses, we remember that word. God's word goes forth, and it does exactly as he intended it to do. It succeeds in its purpose. Now, other translations use the word void in place of empty. God's word does not return void. God's word is fruitful. It's beneficial. What he says, he will do. What he has given to us in his written word is faithful. None of all the promises that he has made has failed. And as God's word goes forth, it is like the rain. It is like the snow that makes the earth sprout. It waters the earth and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God's word brings life. And the more we align ourselves with the word of God, the more blessings that we enjoy and the grace of God that we see. And the more that we abandon or we neglect the word of God, the more trials and hardships and troubles we tend to see. The first thing, the very first thing that I would ask a person who is struggling or is discouraged is this. Are you in worship with God's people every single week? Not that being present here solves all of our problems or troubles, but it does give us perspective on life that we need, and it builds us up in our faith from week to week, and we need that. I've told you before that I do not know how non-Christians cope in the world. I don't know how they manage it. And I want to add to that, I don't know how those who claim to follow Christ cope in the world when they neglect gathering with the saints of God for worship or they forsake the Lord's Day. You see, the Lord's Day for us is a glimpse of heaven every single week. The world likes to give us a glimpse of hell every single day. And I don't know about you, but I need every opportunity of worship that I can get so that I don't get depressed by all the crazy and the sin and the lostness. I need hope. I need life. I need God's word. And not just that independent American mindset of being by myself and reading God's word. That's a great blessing that I take advantage of. But I need God's people. I need this. I need you. We need each other. God's word shall not return empty. It accomplishes its purpose. God's word is fruitful. And we dare not neglect that. Or if we neglect that, it is to our hurt. And now the final word today is land. Notice the blessings on the land in verses 12 and 13. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees in the fields shall clap their hands. Instead of thorns shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Those very words there remind me of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem before his death. Jesus is told to make his followers stop shouting those words, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus says, if they were quiet, the very rocks themselves would cry out. Even creation rejoices in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I read that earlier today in the book of Romans. If you turn back with me to Romans chapter 8, turn to Romans chapter 8. Verses 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Hope. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We will rejoice as well as creation. And we have in these verses here at the end of this chapter a reversal of that curse from Genesis chapter 3, where thorns and thistles were promised because of the fall. The exodus from Babylon by the remnant of God's people who came out of Babylon and back into the land, just like that exodus from Egypt, is a picture of God's deliverance from sins and the deliverance of all creation rejoices. We read there in Romans with the saints of God. Isaiah 44, verse 23, sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth, break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. Or Isaiah 49, verse 13, sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. Or Psalm 96, verses 11 through 13. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And many, many examples that Scripture gives to us of creation itself rejoicing in the redemption from the curse. And we know that creation also bears witness to God. Natural revelation shows forth that there is a God who created all things. The heavens above declare his glory. All things were created to give glory to God. Human beings created in his image, but also the creation itself is to give God glory. So I asked you tonight to remember four words, knowing full well that a chapter in Isaiah cannot be reduced to four words. But I hope that by focusing tonight on these words and trying to remember these words as you leave here this evening, it will help you to remember this message longer. The first was come. Come to the waters, all who are thirsty. Come and eat. Come buy without cost. Stop paying and toiling for that which does not last. Listen to God and eat what is good. Remember the free gift of salvation that God gives. Remember that Jesus is the bread of life and he is the water of life. Remember that everlasting covenant that was promised to David. So come. Come. Second, seek. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. Turn from sin. Repent. Remember that you are not God. Your thoughts and your ways do not rise to his. His thoughts and his ways, excuse me, are much higher than our ways. And because his ways are higher than our ways, we rejoice in the care and the love of our gracious God. So let us seek him. Let us call upon him now. Excuse me. Now is the day of salvation. And third was word. God's word shall not return to him empty. And just like the rain and the snow water the earth and make it sprout, God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So God's word does exactly as he sent it to do. And we praise God for his word that he has given to us, that we can enjoy his revelation to man. And we rejoice also in that natural revelation and in his special revelation in his word. And fourth, land. The very earth itself rejoices, the mountains singing and the trees clapping their hands at the salvation of our God. Creation itself is in bondage to sin. Creation itself groans under the curse of the fall, but in our redemption, the curse has been reversed. No more thorns instead of cypress. No more briars instead the myrtle and the everlasting name of our God. So we rejoice as the people of God for all that He has done for us, for the great picture of bringing His people out of bondage, not just once, but twice. Redeemed from slavery in Egypt, and now a remnant redeemed from slavery in Babylon. And we have been redeemed from our slavery, our bondage to sin. And we too rejoice in God's great promises. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the commands. We thank You for the free gift of life. We thank You for that living water that wells up into eternal life. We pray that You would help us to repent and turn from any sin, that we would not pursue the wrong things, that we would not strive after the wind or chase the wrong things. Help us to focus on Your truth and to rejoice as the trees of the field and the mountains. In Jesus' name, amen.